Hello and welcome to Season 3 of Hello Coachcast. I'm Victoria Mills and today we'll be discussing preparing leaders for VUCA World. It's a term and a definition that I'm looking forward to unpacking today with our guest. Reforming leadership development to meet the demands of VUCA World, where volatility, uncertainty, complexity and ambiguity prevail, is an urgent imperative. Traditional leadership approaches may not longer suffice to equip leaders to navigate these challenges effectively. We must develop and implement a holistic strategy to empower leaders with really the necessary skills and mindset to excel in the VUCA world. And this is where I'm really looking forward to understanding and defining for those who actually may not have heard the term VUCA before. So why is it so important right now to address VUCA world? Only 18% of leaders are actually capable of leading in VUCA world, success performance solutions. From a Kinsey State of Organization survey in 23, resilient companies generated 50% higher than their less resilient peers in the 2020 to 21 economic recovery. 39% of respondents in a recent survey conducted in 7 countries say that they are planning to leave their jobs in the next 3 months. So this is probably one of the main reasons why I have a guest here today that can help us unpack the importance of upskilling our leaders in the VUCA world. Here with me today is Raminta Kimuntis, who leads on global leadership and organizational development for Maxeon Solar Technologies. She is an internationally experienced certified practitioner, human resources, with experience in people-related organizational development, interventions design and delivery of global leadership capability, emotional intelligence, coaching, talent management, performance management, team effectiveness, and organizational culture and D&I programs. I'm really excited to have you here today because I know we started the conversation earlier around the importance of VUCA, and it was a term that I wasn't familiar with. So welcome, and really looking forward to today's conversation, Minta.
Oh, thanks, Victoria. It is so nice to be here. It is a beautiful 25 degrees in Sydney, and I couldn't think of a better place or better topic on such a lovely sunny day.
So let's start to unpack the term VUCA. And looking at really the benefits of today's conversation and how it will influence leaders that are listening to our chat. So the benefit number one is we need to be able to change leadership practices, particularly after COVID. That's a given. The benefit of being able to unpack and increase skills in a VUCA world is the importance of being able to adopt a comprehensive and holistic strategy to equipping leaders with the skills and mindset required in today's world. Mm. The third benefit is, and you can walk me through this, the importance of just-in-time leadership development, because this is a term and a conversation that is happening more and more across organisations. So what I'd love to be able to unpack in our talk today is obviously these three top benefits and sharing your insights and learnings along the way in your role of how we can really start to bring this VUCA awareness into their toolkit of leaders. So the problems and challenges that we're trying to solve in today's society really is how do we prepare leaders to lead in a VUCA world? And Minta, let's start with a definition of VUCA.
Sure. Look, I think it's really helpful to set the scene for our discussion today and to really demonstrate that term VUCA. I think let's first reflect on this world that we've lived in over the past 12 months, for example. I'm going to list out some major events, which perhaps some of you may have forgotten. So let's go all the way back to the start of the year where we've got a new head of the Commonwealth Royal Family. Of course, war in Ukraine continues. Interest rate rises have risen globally. We had anti-COVID protests in China, wildfires in Maui, Hawaii, riots in France after the shooting of a 17-year-old young man. ChatGPT disrupts technology. Reports show that renewables are expected to pass coal as the world's largest electricity resource by 2025. There was the suspicious spy balloon that was spotted in Montana, USA. There's been push for regulation in crypto after the collapse of FTX and the arrest of its founder, who was charged with one of the biggest financial frauds in American history. In Turkey and Syria, we had a magnitude 7.8 earthquake that killed more than 21,000 people. There is ongoing conflict between Gaza and Israel, and major tech companies such as Google, Amazon, Microsoft and Meta have announced major layoffs. So some of these events really demonstrate VUCA. These events are volatile, they're uncertain, they're complex and they're ambiguous. And as leaders, we really need to think about what is this world that we're living in, because we're also working in it too. So if we bring some of that a bit closer to home, it's really thinking about now, what is our working environment? As a leader, think to yourself, what changes have I experienced? What goalposts have changed quickly? And how do I keep up with those points of change? And over the years, working with different leaders in different countries and cities, industries and levels of experience, many of them will speak out about these quick and sudden changes to their working environment and how those goalposts have really changed suddenly and constantly. And it's very obvious that I think the only constant is change. And we really have to make sense of what is going on around us in order to be able to manage that. And as leaders, we can't just think about that small piece of the puzzle that we're working on. We really have to look at that bigger picture. And it's really important to remember that the broader context of which we live and work.
And those examples that you have listed there, I mean, they are sizable and systemic, significant stress and uncertainty that is happening around the world. And one of the opportunities that I know that we have as organisations being able to, again, care about our people is how can we help protect their well-being?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because whilst that these events are external and they may not directly have a day-to-day impact on us, they do. And they show up in different ways around how we act, how we behave, how we engage or how we don't disengage. And the VUCA term and the VUCA leadership approach makes absolute sense. It's bringing essentially everything in a term that we can understand around the uncertainty and the volatility and how we can navigate that on the ground here in our country whilst there is such significant events happening externally.
Yeah, absolutely. The term VUCA has been around for a really long time. It wasn't until the late 90s that businesses actually started to really use this term to describe that chaotic and very turbulent and rapidly changing business environment, which at the moment, this is our normal. Like, we wake up and things are volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. Things change quite quickly. If we looked earlier this year when lockdown was still taking place in China post-COVID and the effect of that and the consequence of that with the global supply chain issues, or if we're looking at things that are uncertain, it's really difficult for leaders to be able to really use past issues and events to predict these future outcomes. So it makes forecasting really hard. And when things are complex, there are so many numerous, and like you said, they're quite sizable things that we really need to unpack. It gives us this layer of complexity, which of course then leads to some confusion, which is what A stands for. It's that ambiguity, that haziness of reality and this lack of clarity. It's really hard for leaders to then answer questions like, well, who, what, where, when, how, why? Things are becoming really unclear. So in HR and in learning and development and leadership development, we really need to think about how do we prepare these leaders for this VUCA world that we live in and work in?
Do you find that in your role that you are being presented with common questions from other leaders, such as, gosh, is it all too hard? Am I in the right role? Because how I led 2 years ago is not working anymore. Mm. And it is about what are my gaps as a leader and what do I need to be able to support our human beings on the ground and care and connect and also help give them the skills to be able to essentially embrace uncertainty with certainty.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, that's it in a nutshell, right?
Yes.
Because we have never seen such rapid change as what we have over the last few years. And our gaps in our skills is now showing up with more void than where we were 5 years ago as leaders. And what we were doing 5 years ago does no longer work. in today's world. And it's being able to look at, and I'm just curious on what the most common questions are that you get asked.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say right now, a common question is that leaders are thinking, well, is leadership even for me? Leaders are starting to question, those existing leaders are starting to question whether they want to remain in a leadership role. It's very clear that our leaders are fairly exhausted and they do need that additional support. Some other questions might be things like, well, how do I keep up with it all? How do I ensure that my team can keep up with it all? Which priorities do I need to tackle first? And a lot of these leaders, they've typically excelled as individual contributors or technical experts, and they've been promoted to leadership without that real development of self and their own idea on how they want to lead others. And I think COVID, it really paused leadership development for most organizations, which means we're about 2 to 3 cohorts of emerging leaders who have missed out on that critical development. And now in HR and L&D, we're really playing catch up, which actually might be contributing to this era of quiet quitting, which used to be called presenteeism. And we really need to start re-engaging the workforce on expectations of leadership and help people and enable people to step up into that leadership role or remain in that leadership role.
You've said some really interesting things there, and I absolutely agree that I think over the last couple of years we were forced into a quick reactive style of leadership, and people were put into roles that they don't and didn't have the skills around, yet we still expected them to lead. But they were missing some fundamentals. And I think now that we're through COVID, we're now, and I know this is a common message that I speak about, is we are now in another epidemic, which is the lonely century. And this drives absenteeism, it drives disengagement, and it drives the quiet quitting. And I do honestly believe underneath it, there is an opportunity to close the gap of skills, which then helps drive people to feel a part of an organization, to the underbelly of what that passion is and that mission is. Mm-hmm. And this is where I'm seeing a real shift in lots of the conversations that I've had, is moving away from reactive leadership to really looking at what are the skills that our leaders, be it new leaders, what do they actually need to thrive? And yes, are they actually the right people in the right role? Mm. Because there are leaders and there are other people who just prefer to be a part of teams. But we're now living in such deep uncertainty in the world that there is an incredible opportunity for everyone to have the capacity to what I call self-lead. Mm. And when you have the ability and the skills to lead yourself, you can then effectively lead others. And this is where I've seen the, as much as it's been a challenge, it's been an incredible opportunity for many businesses to look at, let's actually take it back to the individual. How can they actually improve how they approach the day-to-day, how they lead themselves, to therefore have a larger impact on other teams around them?
Yeah, it's a valid point. And I think when we're talking about leadership, we have to remember that leadership isn't just about leading people, right? So that can be also called management, but it's leading self piece, but it's also, I'm a leader of a project, I'm a leader of a client, I'm a leader of a customer or a stakeholder group. You know, leadership is no longer that sole responsibility of a CEO. So when we're developing leaders, we have to look at a much broader population of that workforce. And if we're going to start talking about how do we make sure that we've got the right people for the right roles at the right time, we can look at the population that we want as emerging leaders and develop them early.
So you can't take the coach out of me, and I'm always looking for how can, and I know you're a fellow coach, let's start with the signs and symptoms. If you are a leader and you have a team, no matter how small or large, what are the signs that you have significant challenges if you have your VUCA hat on? Mm-hmm. What would be some of the signs and symptoms that we can unpack that may give other leaders, gee, you know what? I do have an issue with uncertainty. I do have an issue with how ambiguity is playing out across the team. What would be those high-level points that we could walk leaders through?
Yeah, okay. Well, it's a bit of a tricky one, actually, because someone else usually spots signs and symptoms in us before we do, unless you're very self-aware and you have made this a habitual practice to really think about how you're feeling. If you're not doing that on a regular basis, then people will typically spot signs and symptoms in us before we do as leaders. So I think there's a couple of things that typically will happen. When we're in this VUCA world and there's change that's happening constantly and we're not able to adapt as fast as what we would like to, we typically go into survival mode. So rather than being mindful of what we're doing, we go into this survival mode, and our brains are really wired to protect us. And you may have heard of something called our lizard brain, which is essentially the brainstem and the cerebellum, which is a part of the brain at the very back lower part of the brain connected into this brainstem. But its point, its function is to put us into a survival mode as a default setting. So when we're going through these phases of volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity, our mindset and our attitude will default into this survival mode. But then as a consequence of that, our behavior is then very judgmental of ourselves and others. We sometimes could blame others or avoid accountability when we're going through VUCA. We might respond negatively to conflict and not really be open to feedback. We might become really rigid and reactive, which is really tough these days because a lot of organizations are saying we need to be innovative, we need to be doing new things. So if we've got this real closed default survival mindset, those things are going to be really, really hard. Some other things could be when we start to notice that we ourselves are less self-aware. And again, typically people might spot that before we realize it ourselves. And it's on those days when someone taps you on the shoulder and says, "Are you all right? You don't quite seem yourself today." Sometimes we ignore our feelings and we pretend we're okay. We become quite guarded or closed or really only talk about those things on a superficial level. And then maybe one other thing could be if we've got poor emotional expression and control. So looking to our behaviors then, you know, if we're really not thinking mindfully, how does that then come out in our behaviors, the things that we say, the things that we do? And so if we're not checking in on how we're feeling, our behavior then turns into this, I'm going to blame the circumstance. So for instance, I might say things like, well, I can't do this, or I can't change this, or I'll never be able to fix this. Now, you may have heard of a term called emotional hijack or the amygdala hijack. The amygdala is that really small part of the brain about the size of an almond, but it's got a really big job. It's the major processing center for that of our emotions. So if we're not really thinking about how we're feeling and taking the time to reflect on that, our behaviors will typically show otherwise.
And also if we're not feeling what we're feeling, then it can even be even more basic reactions in the body, such as not sleeping at night, winter. It can be more feelings of anxiety. It could be feeling flat. It could be more teary. I think that sometimes when we are in a state of fight or flight or survival mode, we're not necessarily connected to our emotions as much as we would be if we were in a state of responsiveness. So it can be even more basic things to be on the lookout for, to start to ask yourself, am I actually okay? Because I think then that is where the self-leadership steps in. Instead of being relying on some others to be able to pick up the signs, I'm more about, okay, you're a grown up. How can we support you? How can you support yourself to start to check in? Am I okay? Am I functioning in a basic way? My self-care, my sleep, has anything dropped off? To then go into the deeper steps of, all right, how am I really feeling around life right now? And I know it's a very large loaded question, but one of the things that I found even when I was a coach for so long is people are not connected to their feelings.
No.
And ideally, this is the unicorn state that we want to get into, right, where we are helping people to be aware of what they're feeling. But often we are more reactive to what's actually blowing out in our world. I'm not getting enough sleep. Well, tick, clearly, you know, what's driving that? You know, is it food? Is it diet? Is it stress? And to be able to start asking some more basic questions that then leads into, I really believe, an opportunity to self-lead. And what do I need ultimately to self-care? If I'm self-caring, then that makes me more responsive and less reactive.
Me personally, if I can give you a personal example, I mean, I was working on some slides yesterday to talk about some well-being sessions in the workplace, really on how we're going to develop resilience and adaptability and really check in on yourselves. But because I was working on that, I didn't take a lunchtime walk break and didn't get out and get some fresh air. And you really do have to practice what you preach, right?
Absolutely.
And even when you're in this space, you really do have to sometimes remind yourself, like, okay, I'm sitting here talking about having a good night's rest or drink decaf if the adrenaline is getting to you, like caffeinated beverages, or take a walk around the block or catch up with a friend or something. You really do have to practice what you preach.
Absolutely. And self-leadership can be the basic things of self-caring, because self-caring caring then moves into, all right, what are the things that I need to have in my world to thrive, not dive? Taking a lunch break, Minta. It's really important to be able to do that. But, it, you know, we're now living in a very, there is lots of turbulence. And having more structure in our day absolutely helps create a deeper sense of having an anchor in how we operate and how we move through the day, whether that is lunch breaks, taking a walk around the block. We're going back to basic things now that we were doing in COVID. The preciousness of being able to go out and sit in the sun, go and sit in a park for half an hour, to be able to also disconnect and switch off is a critical component to self-care and therefore leading yourself well. Because if you're thriving, then that is a message that you can then obviously permeate through an organization and onto your teams. So I guess one of the things that I'm curious that I'd love to unpack with you a little bit more is, once leaders adopt a or wanting to create a VUCA world, what are some of the, I guess, the positive outcomes? What would be some of the wins that they're looking for here by creating and adopting this? Because it is a philosophy. It's, you know, being able to embrace the uncertainty, the ambiguity. What's the upside of being able to really walk and talk a VUCA world?
I think if leaders are really checking in on themselves and really actively working to develop their EI or emotional intelligence, well, they're going to be far more open to change and really channel that growth mindset. I think then they'll explore differences and perspectives from others. They'll be far more open to, say, a 360 feedback, or they'll be open to thinking, well, what if a small part of this is true? They'll be far more open to address difficult issues in a very assertive or proactive way. So they're really flexing that personal power and very much express their emotions more mindfully.
Thank you for sharing that. So I know one of the things that you've said before, which I know we both agree on, is the importance of being able to lead yourself before leading others and creating your habits. So I think we've touched on that before, and I really think that that's the epicenter for being able to embrace your own version of you leading in it with VUCA prowess and being able to then take that into the organization. What are some of the outstanding results that you've seen from someone that you know around you in your organization, apart from yourself, and yes, you need to take lunch breaks, is being able to, once they've truly adopted the true meaning and the philosophy of VUCA world, what are the key signs that you can look at that leader and say, wow, you are absolutely walking and talking this philosophy, and these are the reasons why?
Yeah, absolutely. So in a real life example, I've seen leaders who can bounce back a lot faster. And leaders are people who have followers, whether they are stakeholders, clients, customers, employees. These people are going to be looking to that leader as an example. And so, you know, how is that leader managing change and managing who they are in this VUCA world? And I think it's really good practice to acknowledge that feeling and then create an action plan. They're able to build trust a lot faster because they're so much more open to giving and receiving feedback. They're able to listen to different perspectives, especially if you're working in a global organization and you've got people that are based in different regions around the world. You need to be able to tap into your networks and be able to take different perspectives to create innovation, to do things quickly, to do things and adapt with change really quickly. They've got this ability to request for feedback. They've got this ability to be their highest performing self, whatever that definition is for that leader. So I think that's really important.
What's your opinion in the space that you have around leaders having to, and this is a very old style of leadership and one that I don't necessarily agree with leaders having to have all the answers and think that they have to have all the answers. I know some of the best strategies and solutions have come about when you actually say, I actually don't know, but hey, let's find a solution together. And showing that vulnerability as a leader. What are your thoughts around leaders being vulnerable?
Oh, I love it. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's really, really helpful. Any senior leader that I've worked with that has said, you know what, I actually don't have the answer to that. But the leadership styles that have, I guess, evolved over time from about 2014, leaders decided, you know what, I can't do this all on my own. And so I'm going to have to collaborate and build this network of people around me who can help me get that job done. I very much appreciate vulnerability and being able to look to your extended leadership network. That might be a peer, a colleague, a stakeholder, a leader above you, or it's even, you know, direct reports. So very much so, I think vulnerability is key to saying, yep, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to find out. Or I'm going to learn how, which pieces into that growth mindset phase. It might be a skill that I need to learn, or it might be a behavior that I need to change. But just being vulnerable to say, yeah, I'm not sure what the answer is. Yeah, that's very much the leadership styles that are focused on today.
Yeah, perfect. No, that's a great response. So what would be your top three? Say someone is loving the conversation and the insights that you've shared, and they've thought, you know what, this is a wonderful philosophy. I actually want to create a VUCA world. What would be the top three actions that they would need to start with?
To adapt their leadership style? Okay, if I take it from perhaps an organizational perspective, I would say the timing of development of emerging leaders. So I would say, let's develop early. I'm quite a big fan of building leadership capability before employees even have that traditional leadership title. And traditionally, organizations will promote based on an individual contributor's technical performance. So we reward them by giving them more responsibility, which is usually people leadership. And people leadership usually typically comes with a pay rise. So of course, the individual gets really excited, but that also comes with more responsibility, which is both a pleasure and a burden. If you spoke to any leader during COVID, they were saying, okay, I've been tapped on the shoulder. My colleague wants 5 minutes of my time. It ends up being 30 minutes of their time because they were listening to what was going on for them and their life. And then they'd switch their laptop off and then they'd go to their life and have to look after themselves. So leadership comes with, you know, really happy, wonderful moments, but it also comes with a burden. And I think people leaders or those that are developing into people leadership really need to acknowledge that there's both a pleasure and burden of leadership, and you have to question whether it's for you. I'd really encourage building in a leadership capability framework into any part of that employee life cycle. So when you're working in HR, you'll look at typically an employee life cycle of how do we actually attract and recruit employees to our business. So I would say, talk about leadership capabilities in that very early stage of talent acquisition and ask questions that are really surrounding those capabilities of what your business expects of a leader. And again, remember, leadership is not just people leaders. Leaders can be leading yourself, a project, a stakeholder. So you can be an individual contributor as a leader. And then once that person's on board, share the full leadership capability framework with them and include that in any type of performance conversation and make sure that it's throughout multiple touch points throughout the year. I think leadership capability frameworks can also really be leveraged for things like talent development, succession planning and recognition, really ensuring that even if an employee does not have that traditional leadership title, they can still use that framework as a guide and really develop on their leadership capabilities by conducting a really simple gap analysis. So I would say from a first thought is really develop your emerging leaders early. Make sure that you're tapping those right people on the shoulder to, you know, do they want to consider a career in leadership or leadership of people, that is.
Well, you've actually answered. I actually had three more questions to ask you, and you've answered the number one question, which is what's the number one thing organizations can do to retain their top talent? And one of the comments that you made earlier was very much around investing in your teams earlier and investing in young leaders. So that emerging leader space is absolutely critical. So thank you. You've already answered that. My second question was, what's the number one thing organizations can do, in your opinion, to really lift the representation of women in leadership?
That's a great question.
I know that's an entire podcast in itself, but we're coming to the end of our conversation, but I really wanted to try and get in a couple of these last questions.
Okay. I would say for women representation, so I've worked in different organizations that mostly are male dominated, but I think it's really important to ensure that any emerging leader has an opportunity to understand what are the expectations of leadership. So make sure that that is very crystal clear in that leadership capability framework of what do we expect from leaders, and make sure that we are aligned on that. The individual has to want to be a people leader. And I think traditionally, a lot of businesses will focus on the what it is that a leader needs to do, which I think in very male-dominated industries, maybe from a socializing factor from when we're younger, gender roles really come into play there. So I think to try to figure out how to answer your question, there's a couple of things that I do want to say. So if we're looking at how do we increase women representation in leadership, we have to make sure that our leadership capabilities are very explicit and that we need to make sure that all genders understand the what and how of what leadership looks like in that business. Now, the what could refer to something like high quality performance. So that might be a technical skill, a functional skill. However, we're really focusing on the how we actually go about doing that. What are those high quality behaviors that we're really looking at? And I think organizations really do need to focus on both the what and how of leadership. And those two things will make it quite crystal clear to any gender on what leadership looks like in the business. I think there can be development programs specifically for women, which I have designed and developed in the past. This was actually pre-COVID days, to be honest. And in those development programs, there were many occasions where we actually had outcomes that we weren't even expecting. Women were connecting on a different level and they were able to then talk about things like strategy that they don't typically want to talk about with other genders, that they want to only talk about with women, or just talking about challenges that were going on for them and things that affect their particular gender. So I think there's quite a few things that you could do. I would first say start with the what and the how, like what is it that you need to do, that technical capability of leadership, but also the how you do it. So that behavioral piece. And then as an organization, you can certainly take things like positive action by creating specific development programs for women.
And my last question is, what is the number one thing organizations can do with your lens and in the role that you have, ultimately improving well-being? Because through all of our conversations, it comes down to this one word. Yep. And the VUCA philosophy and the VUCA world, ultimately, it is about embracing and enhancing every single human being's sense of well-being in an organization and also how we can support them outside the organization. I really feel that this is not just a 9-to-5 cover that we give our people. This is around you're a part of our team. We're in this together. What do you need to be able to thrive, not only professionally, but it's also personally? Mm. So I'm curious, as we come to the end of a wonderful conversation, I totally need to get you back because there are so many things that I want to be able to talk more about. In your professional opinion and in your experience, what is the number one thing that an organization absolutely must have access to create that really deep sense of trust around well-being and how they care for their people?
Yeah. I would say, and this is a budget-friendly tip for anyone who's listening who can't convince their CFO to give them some budget as we're coming to the end of the year. I would say a budget-friendly tip for any team that's coming together for team meetings, as regular check-ins, whether it's one-on-ones, check in, create a habitual practice of checking in on how you're feeling. So for example, in the team that I currently sit in and in previous teams as well, I highly encourage you to Google Dr. Gloria Wilcox's feelings wheel and just place that up onto the screen. No doubt when you start a team meeting, you always say, oh, how are you doing? How's the weekend? How are you? And typically we'll answer with, oh yeah, I'm fine. Things are okay. Fine. No problem. However, if you're using this feelings wheel, and again, it's totally free, Dr. Gloria Wilcox, just Google it. It's a great wheel of feelings and emotions. And if you place that in front of everyone, you say, okay, everyone, I want you to choose 1 to 2 words on how you're actually feeling right now, or give me 2 words of how your week has gone or how you're feeling this week. It's amazing the types of, I guess it comes back to that part on building trust and that psychological safety in your team, with your employees, with your direct reports, with your network, whoever it is that you're having a team meeting with. But people will go, yeah, actually, just looking at this wheel, I can see the word anxious, or I can see the word creative, or I can see the word purposeful. And people are starting to choose words that are not just fine. They're starting to make really direct acknowledgements of how they're feeling. And people will say, yeah, I was actually really overwhelmed this week because I had to work on this project, or I was feeling really creative because I got to work with different leaders at different times, or whatever the case may be. But it's just a really budget-friendly tip. It costs you nothing, and it's a great way to start a team meeting. Ask everyone how they're feeling, place that feelings wheel in front of everyone, ask everyone 1 to 2 words on how they're feeling this week, and it's amazing where those conversations will go.
Winter, I do need to get you back for a follow-up conversation. That was extraordinary. I have written down so many insights and solutions that you have gone through. So thank you so much for sharing so much. And I can tell that you are so committed to the well-being of your incredible human beings around you. And when you first sat down, obviously you've got a few thousand now in the organization. And that is no easy feat to be able to look after, whether it's one person or 5,000 people, the importance of constantly having that as our daily focus, because without the magic that our incredible people bring in an organization, we just don't have an organization. Mm-hmm. And they are, I always say to, you know, my team, you know, they're our VIPs, and your hearts are important, your minds are important. And when we are an aligned team, we can absolutely create magic out there in the marketplace, and it doesn't matter what your product is. So always amazing. Thank you so much. So many wonderful tips and solutions that you've taken us through. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Hello Coachcast. Now, if you've enjoyed that conversation and the content, we would love you to subscribe, like, share, or leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Also, if you'd like to work on improving, yes, well-being in your organization, love to talk to you about organizational coaching needs. And for those that are interested, we do actually have a free coaching trial for a limited time where we can place 10 leaders through Hello Coach, where they have an experience for 3 weeks. So if it's something that you're interested in, please reach out to us at hello-coach.com. Again, thank you so much for listening. Minta, thank you very much for joining us here on today's Hello Coach cast, and look forward to catching up with you next conversation.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. As a thank you for spending time with us, we'd like to give you a special offer to kickstart your coaching and help you build on your progress today. Your coach will help you break down your obstacles, clarify your goals, and set actionable steps to create the future you dream of. Whether you seek to improve your well-being, change your career, build your business, or deepen your connection with those around you. To get this limited time offer, visit hello-coach.com and kickstart your coaching today. Don't miss out. Join us each week for more insights from our world-class coaches by subscribing to Hello Coachcast wherever you get your podcasts. And if you listen to us on Spotify or Apple Podcast, you can leave us up to a 5-star review. Until next time, take care, and remember, Hello Coach is here to guide you on your journey to your best life.